The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There's a Chinese folktale that I just recently became reacquainted with because it's in a book that I bought for my daughter, who's two, and she's a little young for this story. But as I read it, I thought, "Oh, I've heard Gil tell that story." And then I thought, oh, "Okay, that's good, good one to share." So there was a villager named, in a small village in China, named Sai. And he had this beautiful horse, just this, you know, horse like strong and fast, and people really envied this horse, and the owner would say to him, you know, "How great, you have this valuable, wonderful horse." And he'd say, "Maybe. Yeah, but I'm not so sure." And then one day there was a big thunderstorm, lightning and thunder, and unusually strong. And the horse ran away overnight. And so then all the villagers came to him the next day, you know, saying, "Ah, what bad luck. See, look at that, you lost your horse." And, you know, he just kind of smiled and say, "Maybe, not so sure." A few days later, the horse returned with the mare. So he got two horses. Everyone was like, "Look at you, what great luck you have. And this wild mare coming, now you've got, you know, twice the resources." And he said, "Maybe, you know, I'm not so sure." So his son was riding the wild mare and got kicked off and broke his leg. So you can imagine his neighbors saying, "Ah, oh, how terrible, your son broke his leg. This is such bad luck." And Sai, the father, said, just smiled and said, "Maybe, you know, I'm not so sure." So soon after that, a war broke out, and all the young able-bodied men had to go join the army and fight the war. Well, all the young men in the village had to go, except for one, his son, who had broken his leg. You know, "Oh, what great luck. You don't have to..." You know, so you can kind of see this goes on and on. And what I love about this story is it points to how much we don't know. You know, it's like... all the events and the experience in a human life usually get interpreted through this filter, you know, this filter of our thinking mind, this filter of our conditioning and our preferences and our desires and our aversions. But actually, there's a lot of mystery, and there's so much we don't know about what will turn out to be good or what will turn out to be not so good. One of the things that just happens over and over again in this practice is that what were our biggest difficulties and biggest points of stress and deepest suffering are actually the doorways to our transformation. I read about a study once that, I can't remember, it profiled people who have been dealt with very difficult life circumstances. You know, it could be a child died or something. And they said, would you have wanted this to happen or not? And they all said, if we could choose, of course we would say not. But to a person, they each felt that having gone through that difficulty had changed them, and it had changed them for the better. They, in all different ways, they had grown as a person. They had grown in their capacity to love, to feel compassion. They became less self-centered and more involved with others. So it's very interesting, and the way I think about this is almost like the opposite of PTSD. You know, if like PTSD is a trauma that gets conditioned, and it conditions our system to respond in a certain way for trauma, maybe there's a way that this practice is like we can condition our system in the opposite, or leaning towards that other direction. So part of this story about the horse, was in the book I have, is called The Lost Horse, is developing this capacity for equanimity in the face of the inevitable ups and downs of life. I mean, that's just the nature of things. A student once asked Suzuki Roshi, I enjoy your talks, but I find them really difficult to understand, and I'm a little slow. And could you just please sum up Buddhism, sum up the Dharma for me in two words? And Suzuki Roshi said, everything changes. The good things change into bad things, quote-unquote bad things. The bad things change into good things. Ceaseless change, constant change. There's nothing but change. And usually this causes suffering, because we don't want to lose what we love. One of my teachers describes Vipassana meditation as the goal of Vipassana meditation as refining our perception of change. So refining how we understand impermanence. I think most people would have or could accept a kind of intellectual understanding of impermanence, or a kind of abstract, today's Wednesday, yesterday was Tuesday, tomorrow, I get it. I was, I'm this age now, last year I was, younger, soon I'll be older. And so that's one level. And another level is moment to moment to moment seeing the transformation, seeing feeling the changing sensations in the body, seeing how momentary a thought is. It's just there and then it's gone. You know, it's like, so over and over again, we have the opportunity to experience this impermanence. And an important part of the practice is to fully experience all the emotions that come up along with this impermanence. And when we become very familiar with those emotions, when we become very familiar with the kind of inventory of our emotional life, of what happens when something changes, someone or something dies. When we become very familiar with it, we start to see that those emotions themselves change. You know, they're visitors. They come and they go. And even the awareness, even the knowing, well, surely that's permanent. That's, you know, but even that's just momentary. And one of the paradoxes of impermanence, of perceiving impermanence, is that to the more still and calm we are, the more still and calm our mind is, the more able we are to perceive impermanence. It's like if we're moving in a car and then there's another car next to us which is going the same speed, it's like, you know, it's hard to tell that things are moving. But when we're still and there's a reference point, then it's like, oh, you can, you know, this example of this, of a putting a twig into a stream that seems still. But when you put the branch into the water, you actually see the water is moving. It's actually moving around the stick. So this is what our meditation is, our practice of this calmness, this stability, you know, just here, just present. And when our mind is moving a lot, when there's a lot of thinking and a lot of agitation, things seem really solid, really permanent. You know, something bad happens, it will always be this way. You know, I have this ache and I think this will never go away. Or, you know, all these things seem to take on a solidity, seem to matter so much. You know, it's like little things, you know. But as the mind and the heart settle and calm down, we start to perceive that flux, that energy that's everywhere. And that's a great blessing, because we don't have to we don't have to take it all so seriously. We don't have to take ourselves so seriously. And, you know, it will change. And trusting that and coming to peace with that process is a wonderful goal. It's why the Buddha's smiling. So it's 12:01. So thank you very much.